Hello, and welcome to the Welligant Woman Podcast, a place for women over 40 who are ready to transform midlife, reimagine what's possible, and make each new decade better than the last. I'm your host, Karen Viesta, certified health and life coach. And after going through my own midlife reinvention, I can honestly say that I now experience more energy, vitality, confidence, and joy than I ever have before. Each week, I'll be sharing information, inspiration, and strategies to help you do the same. Let's get started. Hey, friends. Welcome back to the podcast. This week, I am really excited about this topic. I know I say that a lot, but I love all the topics that I talk about. I really do draw my ideas from things that are just on my mind, as a woman in midlife, and things that I find myself talking to my friends and people I know about. So they really are all things that I am genuinely interested in. But this topic in particular, I feel like there have been so many episodes that I've recorded where I have mentioned boundaries, or I have spoken about the need to create better boundaries. And I've said, you know, this is a topic for a whole podcast in and of itself. Or I've said, you know, I really have to do a podcast about boundaries at some point. So here I am doing the podcast that I think is really so, so important, because I know firsthand what a struggle this is for so many women, especially at this time in our lives. So I am really excited to be tackling the subject, in an episode unto itself. So without a very clear and strong set of boundaries, it's really hard to create the life of your dreams. You know, that is to say, a really healthy, satisfying, and fulfilling life. And as I said, this is a topic that I'm really passionate about, because I consider myself to be a recovering people pleaser. And so one of the things that I've had to do a lot of work around is boundary setting. The two are really inextricably linked. People pleasing and boundaries are like one and the same conversation, in my opinion, because you can't really struggle in one area without struggling in the other. And likewise, if you're healthy in one area, you are generally healthy in the other. So let's start by just defining the terms. When I say people pleasing, I am referring to a behavior pattern where we as individuals prioritize the needs and desires of others over our own. And we often do this at the expense of our well-being and our personal boundaries. People pleasers tend to go to great lengths to avoid conflict and to gain acceptance from others, even if it means sacrificing their own values and goals and boundaries. I totally did this. I was the quintessential good girl, as so many women are raised to be. We want everyone to like and accept us because we're taught from a very young age to be afraid of rejection and abandonment. You know, it starts with our parents, it extends to friends, romantic partners, employers, children. As we get older and our world gets bigger, it even extends to casual acquaintances, you know, strangers on the street, or even, you know, the masses on the internet, right? If the problem isn't addressed, it gets worse and worse. Boundaries, on the other hand, are emotional, physical, and relational limits that define your sense of self and your personal space. Boundaries are an act of self-care and self-respect. The problem for women is that we've also been conditioned to think about boundaries as being selfish or being restrictive, which is why women in midlife find themselves so frustrated and so stuck in these patterns. They're so deeply ingrained in us. I think the moment that things really changed for me and I suddenly realized that this had been an issue was when I read a quote years ago by writer and blogger Danielle Laporte that just stopped me in my tracks. It was one of those things that kind of hit me between the eyes, and it just felt so incredibly true for me. You know, it was like truth with a capital T. And here's what she said. She said, keep your heart open, as wide open as you possibly can. Keep it so soft. Let it be tender. Feel everything. Feel your feelings. Share your feelings. Keep your heart gentle, gentle, open, open. And then put a big fucking fence around it. Make it tall and make it strong. Ask your angels to guard the gate for you at all times. Do not let anybody past your gate unless their own heart is open and gentle. Only let in people who are respectful, kind, interested, and loving. Emphasis on respectful, kind, interested, and loving. I mean, have you ever heard anything that explains boundaries better than that? I have never. And by the way, I'm going to put a link to that blog post in the show notes in case you'd like to read the full post. I just thought it was so beautifully written and just so true. So maybe you're listening to this and you know clearly that this is an area that you want to address. But maybe you're like, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I have boundary issues. How do I know if this is something that has been holding me back? Well, here are some common issues faced by women over 40. One is overcommitting, you know, juggling many responsibilities and really struggling to say no, which can often lead to burnout. Another is transition, you know, having trouble with transitions like empty nesting or career changes or caregiving responsibilities. Those are things that can really blur boundaries and create challenging situations. Another thing is shifting dynamics in relationships, whether that's your relationship with your aging parents, your adult children, you know, romantic relationships. If those relationships are stressful, it is likely because there are some boundary issues. And then, you know, if you just find yourself feeling generally frustrated and unsatisfied with your life, it may be that your priorities and values have shifted and, you know, perhaps you need to redefine personal boundaries. So why do this work? What is the benefit of having strong, healthy boundaries? Well, I'm so glad you asked. There are many benefits, actually. One is increased self-esteem, reduced stress, improved relationships, and most of all, a sense of empowerment and agency. The biggest complaint that I hear from women is that they feel that they are at the mercy of everyone else's needs and desires. And boundaries are the way to solve for that. And the beautiful thing is that there is this ripple effect. You know, good boundaries enable us to have more balance and fulfillment in just about every area of our life. Think about Danielle Laporte's quote, "When we protect our boundaries, there is a sense of trust and safety that enables us to open our hearts even more. We're not afraid to be authentic and to be seen. We're not afraid to let people get close to us because we know that A, we're really discriminating about who has access to us, and B, we have our own back at all times." So that's the why of having good boundaries. Now for the how, and admittedly, this can be difficult. Here is a breakdown of some tips and techniques for setting and enforcing boundaries. And again, this is coming from somebody who has struggled with this and who has done it. And I cannot claim that I am perfect at this all the time, but I am light years ahead of where I used to be. So I know that this work has really, really helped me. Number one, step one, is knowing what's a no. You know, identify what is important to you and what's not. Know where you want to be investing your time and energy. So before you can say no with confidence, you have to be really clear that what you want to say no to. You know, everything else follows from there. All the other steps follow from there. So once you know what is a clear yes and what's a clear no for you, then step two is that when you have conversations that, you know, involve you sort of asserting your boundary, you want to use assertive body language. This is very simple, but it's very important. You want to maintain eye contact. You want to use a confident posture. You want to speak with a calm, steady tone. We don't want to come across as being defensive or overly emotional. It will actually undermine what we're saying. So when we use assertive body language, it helps to convey confidence and a real sense of conviction in our boundaries. Because if somebody on the receiving end doesn't feel that we are, you know, that we have that conviction, they're not going to take our boundaries as seriously. Step number three is to listen actively to what the other person is saying or asking. You know, don't interrupt them or say no before they've finished speaking. Hear them out. And you can express appreciation if it's appropriate. Because often when people make requests of you, it's because they trust you and they believe in your capacity to help. So, you know, thank them for thinking of you or for extending the invitation. Being appreciative doesn't mean that you have to say yes. Step four, and this actually is hugely helpful for me. If you feel that you need time to think about it, say that. You know, thanks so much. I'll give it some thought and check my schedule and I'll get back to you. It's as simple as that. And it might just buy you some time. This is especially important if you are like me and you are someone who tends to, you know, have a knee-jerk reaction of yes. That was, you know, definitely the case for me. My knee-jerk reaction was to say yes whenever somebody made a request of me. And just having that little buffer of time to think will help you to really consider the request and consider whether it's something that you want to do. You'll make a better decision, you know, if you give yourself the time to think on it. So, you know, if you don't feel comfortable saying no right away, that's always, you know, a strategy to just give yourself a little time by saying that you'll need to think about it and get back to them. Step five is to be clear and specific whenever you communicate a boundary to somebody. You know, maybe that is answering a request or an invitation, or it might be letting somebody know when they have crossed a boundary. You always want to be very clear and specific when you're asserting a boundary. So for example, if somebody has a habit of interrupting you when you're speaking, you might say, "It's really difficult for me to get my thoughts across when you interrupt me, and it's really frustrating. I won't have this conversation unless you can agree to let me speak. I will hear you out, but you need to hear me out too. Can we agree to that?" You know, in that scenario, you're clearly articulating what behavior is unacceptable and why. You know, without being rude and without screaming and yelling, you are clear about what you will do if they don't or can't respect your boundary. You've stated, "I won't have this conversation unless you agree to let me speak." And that's important. It actually, you know, kind of leads into the next step, which is inform them of your boundary and your response if they won't respect it. So, you know, "This is really important to me and here's why. So if you do that, I'm going to do this," you know, and here's maybe the most important step in the entire process. You need to follow through on what you say you're going to do. In other words, you need to respect your own boundary. That's step number seven. You know, when the person is not listening or understanding, or when they don't respect your boundary, don't keep beating that drum. Don't keep explaining yourself. Don't try to say it in a different way or try a different tone or repeat yourself incessantly. This is something that I used to do all the time. I used to work so hard to get other people to understand and agree with me and, you know, respect my boundary. No longer. I gave all of that up. Now I just state how I feel and what my boundary is and why it's important to me. And I let people know what my response will be if they continue to cross it. If they don't understand or they don't respect it, I will no longer exhaust myself trying to get my point across, because that just simply doesn't work. The reason that people continue to cross your boundaries is rarely because they don't understand. More often than not, they just choose to cross your boundary because they want to get their way. And it's actually a bit like bullying or emotional manipulation. So simply do what it is that you said you would do. In the above example, I would walk away. I said, I won't have this conversation unless you let me speak. Therefore, I would walk away and I would simply say, I'm sorry, I won't have this conversation unless you let me speak. So I think it's best that we try this again another time. That's hard, I know. But if you don't respect your own boundary and you don't do what you said you would do, why would anybody else respect it? Step number 8 is to just keep doing that. Consistency is super important. When people see that your boundaries are solid and that you will not allow them to be crossed, they will learn, the way a child learns or the way a dog is trained. People will learn not to cross them. They will know what to expect from you, and they will see that they won't actually get their way by crossing your boundaries. You will not allow that. But it means being super firm in your boundaries and being super consistent. And when it comes to requests and invitations that you refuse, be as resolute as they are pushy. Some people do not give up easily. And that's okay. That's their prerogative, and it may just be their personality to be pushy. Give yourself permission, without being rude, to be just as pushy as they are. You can make light of it if you want. You can say, I know you're really determined and you don't give up easily, but neither do I. This is still a no for me. And here are some additional tips that have helped me a lot with this. Sometimes it's helpful to establish a preemptive no. And what I mean by that is we all have certain people in our lives who tend to make repeated, sometimes burdensome requests of us. And they'll often start with, I have a favor to ask, or can you help me out with something? In those cases, it may be helpful to say no before the request even comes in. Let the person know that you're really busy at the moment, or that you're, super focused on a couple of things at the moment, so your time and energy are limited. If it's your boss, for example, who tends to make the requests, let him or her know what you have on your plate and ask them to kind of prioritize for you, since you won't be able to get everything done at once. That is super helpful and kind of makes it clear that other people piling on requests doesn't mean that you will work around the clock to accommodate them and to get everything done. That is simply unreasonable and unrealistic. So by letting them know in advance, hey, you can ask me a favor, but I just have to tell you, I'm super busy right now. I'm really focused on a couple of things. I don't have a lot of time or energy. What is it that you want? You're kind of setting up the no. The other thing is be prepared to miss out. A lot of this boundary work is managing our minds. In fact, I would go so far as to say nearly all of it is managing your mind. Some of us have a hard time saying no because we hate to miss out on an opportunity. Know that saying no always leads to a missed opportunity. But recognize that every choice you make in life is a trade-off. Remind yourself that when you're saying no to one thing, you are simultaneously saying yes to something that you value more. And that could simply be your time, your energy, your well-being. You may in the moment feel like a bad friend. You may feel like you're letting somebody down or not living up to their expectations. Maybe you will imagine that people will, see you or talk about you in a negative light. And those things might very well happen. But think of it as the cost of reclaiming your life. And my last tip or reminder for you is to be patient with yourself, because it takes time to get good at this, especially when you have spent a lifetime trying to please and accommodate everybody else. It takes time to get comfortable about putting yourself and your needs first. We are always a work in progress. You have heard me say that before. And this is a dynamic process. It is ongoing. You know, I am continuing to do this work on a daily basis. Just make the commitment to do it because it will absolutely transform not only your relationships, but your health and your well-being. When your choices about how you spend your resources, and when I say resources, I mean your time, your energy, your emotions, your money, when that is aligned with what you value most and what is most beneficial for you, not what others value most or what benefits them, I'm talking about you putting, as Danielle Laporte put it, that big fucking fence around your heart and your life. That is what allows you to keep your heart open and to conserve your resources for what matters most and to ultimately create a life of ease, joy, and fulfillment. I hope that this episode has been helpful for you. I would love for you to share it with a friend, with your daughter, sister, mother, colleague. This is an area that so many women struggle with, and these are skills that we would all be wise to develop if we want to live our happiest and healthiest life. Have a very well-elegant week, my friends. Hey, before I let you go, have you downloaded the Midlife Glow Up Guide? In this guide, I walk you through 10 simple action steps, and you know how I love simplicity, that will take you from feeling tired and uninspired to feeling balanced, energized, and beautiful. In short, I'll help you get your mojo back. Simply click the link in the show notes or visit wellelegantwoman.com/glowup, and I'll send that right over to you. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Well Elegant Woman podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please don't forget to subscribe. And I'd love it if you would leave a 5-star review and share it with others. Thanks again for tuning in, and I'll catch you in the next episode.